Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Don't Quote Me. I'm your host, Orla Condon, and this week I'm joined by podcaster Carla Kay. Coming up on today's show, Philip Schofield resigns from ITV after admission of relationship with a younger male colleague, as This Morning faces increasing backlash for toxic work environment. The cast of Love Island Summer 2023 season has been revealed, and we're discussing what to expect when the show kicks off next week. I can't believe it. In other news, I'm talking about Netflix's new The Ultimatum Queer Love and how absolutely chaotic it is. While Carla has a lengthy list of things that she's been enjoying, including a sci-fi book about Beauty and the Beast's Gaston. No joke, let's get stuck in. Yes, we're talking about it again. There is more news. Here to discuss this week's topics with me, Carla Kay. Always lovely to see you. How are you?
Lads, look, the sun is shining, so therefore the outlook is brighter for some people.
No, I'm absolutely sweating balls. I'm so warm. It's hideous. Dreading it. I'm dreading the heat waves, man. Last year nearly killed me. It's too much.
You can't dress during the morning. You're freezing. Get into the car, you're Baltic. By the time you get to work, you're fucking sweating.
Like, do you know? Do you remember that episode of The Simpsons years ago where Homer wears the muumuus, like the big dresses?
Yeah, that's
what I'm like, get me fucking one of them summer dresses that I can just like
muumuu season.
Oh, big time muumuu
season. Big muumuu season.
I don't want a single scrap of fabric touching my skin. I just want to feel the breeze.
Like bras and knickers, goodbye. I don't know. Yeah, I've never seen you. It's time to wander around like a kid after the pool with just your underpants on and a t-shirt. Like that's the only thing getting us through.
No, there are no rules in this weather for me. Mm-hmm. Like it's not sanitary. We are diving back into a story that we have covered on the last two episodes of this podcast. It is a first for us.
Really fresh.
Always like to bring you different things, keep you on your toes. This is a first, bar potentially discussing Housewives on a regular basis in any form I can. But there has been so much substantive updates to this story over the last couple of weeks that it feels like it warrants coverage. I'm also just, I don't know about you, but I'm just incredibly gripped by this story for so many reasons, but mainly because this has always been news and because this has always been right in our face, but yet now it's quote unquote news. And I find it just totally bizarre.
Like the Brits are at it again. But what I will say, they're never not at it. They're flat out at the messing.
Like,
yeah, they're constantly at the mess and like they can't help themselves. So this is maybe an interesting one for you. I have no interest whatsoever in this story. I have no interest because I am on the flip side where I am so engrossed in Scandoval and Umbrella's drama. I can't do both. So I have to
pick. Only said it this morning. I was like, this is my Scandaball because I don't watch BBR.
Yeah, see, this is what I mean. So like I've watched Vanderpump Rules from the very first episode.
Yeah.
Because I watched Beverly Hills back in 2000 and yeah. Back when it started. So I'll never forget that initial episode. And
where
I'll never
it just
forget
moved over. Yeah.
And immediately and telling all of my friends about it, nobody gave a shite. And then slowly but surely I wore them down. Like I wore them down. And now we're just at the pinnacle 10 years later of it. Yeah, so I feel like that this morning drama and the Scandal all at the once, I'm like, no. Yeah. Because again, as I said, the Brits, they're messy. They're inherently messy, but the Americans are messier. So.
This has been chaotic. And yes. It's definitely similar to the Scandal stuff in that it has just been rolling layers. For weeks.
Layers,
right? And there are so many players in the story.
Yeah.
There are so many statements coming out.
I know.
That add context to like what is going on. The latest headline as of today, Monday, 29th of May.
Yeah.
Philip Schofield has officially resigned from ITV after admitting to a relationship with a younger male colleague that worked on This Morning. Now, when I was speaking about this in a group chat, someone was like, but didn't he already resign? He had formally stepped down from This Morning.
Yeah.
Had promised or kind of had said that he would be working on future projects with ITV over the coming months, like the Soap Awards with them and some other stuff that was coming up. They were like not like teasing a new show for him. That is all gone. He's now gone from ITV, gone from the network entirely. They have entirely cut ties. He put out a statement in the last couple of days saying that he did have a consensual on-off relationship with a younger male colleague at This Morning. Contrary to speculation, while I met the man when he was a teenager and was asked to help him get into television, it was only after he started to work on the show that it became more than just a friendship. That relationship was unwise, but not illegal. It is now over. Apologies for the police siren in the background. That was not audio punnage that I was trying to do there. Just came in and
not illegal.
I was like, oh, that was bad state timing. Something.
What you have to state something is
yeah,
not illegal.
Yeah.
But like frowned on is really when you know that you're treading that line.
Yeah.
Like your
and
moral
even if
compass.
You are on the right side of that line, you're far fucking too close to that line for my life. You know what I mean? Like
you shouldn't be there. Get away.
Best case scenario, this is bad shit. And I don't like it's not good. Like it's just not good.
You're Jurassic Park, the dinosaur's test in the fence. Like that's you.
This is why. But this story is not new. Like Philip says it in his statement. ITV says it in another statement that we'll get to shortly. Holly, everyone, this story has been rumbling for years. We discussed it briefly last week. This story of him and a runner on This Morning that he met when he was a teenager, when Philip was doing like a guest teaching slot at some drama school. And then brought him into work at This Morning and then began the relationship, the affair, because he was married at the time. After he was 18, the reports was then that something, it kind of fizzled or it soured. And this young man was moved to another show. I believe it was Loose Women. He no longer works for ITV anymore. I saw reports that he like works in a pub now or something. So he's not working in TV anymore. But like this story has been going around for years. Like we've all known about this story for years. Why is it only catching on? Like, why is the pressure now so much that he
men
has to get out front of it?
Men in media.
Yeah.
That's it. We've seen it time and time again.
Yeah.
Like, it's only getting started. The stuff that is going to come out, and it's like one of those things, I was mad innocent for a lot of my life where I used to just be like, no, and that's how things work. And what I was told is exactly what happened. And I believe this and blah, 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 and all that other kind of stuff, like innocent until proven guilty. And just the more that the patriarchy has got out there, it's like genuinely terrifying and I don't think they know what they're doing, but I don't think they know to the extent of how messed up it is, because it's like, there's always going to be someone that they'll find that will be like, has done it before, has been able to do it with, and kind of got away with it. Because what I never really understood is he stood down from This Morning, but he was like, but don't worry, I'll be at that National Soap Awards. And I was like, one of these things is like the other.
Yeah.
It's a bit kind of what's going on there. And then I think that everybody just wanted Holly to be somehow responsible, which I thought was so mega strange. And then everyone else had an opinion on it too. And they were kind of saying things, but also not saying things.
Yeah.
And now we're at a point where we kind of have, well, not hard evidence, but he's admitted to what went on. This is so wrong on so many levels.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
And also, like, how this news got out. This was a statement that he gave to the Daily Mail. This is a publisher that reportedly is one of the publishers that he had an injunction against from posting about this story. Now, we got a lot of people messaging us in the last couple of days asking for a little bit more clarity on, like, what an injunction is, what does that mean? Definition: an injunction is a court order prohibiting a person or a publisher from talking about a specific thing. The report is, and this hasn't been clarified by Philip, it hasn't been confirmed by anyone, but the report is that he had an injunction against places like the Mail, like the Red Tabs, like the Rupert Murdoch Group, that kind of stuff, from talking about this story after, what, 3-4 years ago when this starts to bubble. And the report is that he was paying like up to 30 grand a month to these publishers. Again, he has not confirmed any of this. So the fact that this statement went to the Mail is really telling, because this is not a publisher that he is going to because he has a good relationship with, that there is trust with, that he feels his story will be cared for. This reeks of gotcha. Now you got to tell us, like, you got to give us the statement. Like, this reeks of, we've got more to this. And if you want to try and get out in front of it, we need you to give us the statement, because that article is going to be what gets clicks. It's going to be linked in every other article that quotes that article. So they're going to rack up those clicks. It reeks of the Daily Mail has more, and more is to come, to me.
Definitely. And also, I don't think there would be such an admittal. Yeah. And I think that he's going to kind of try and circle back and go back on himself and whatever else, like, quite a few times, I would say. But yeah. Again, I'm not really shocked.
No, yeah, I'm not either.
I'm really just not shocked. I think that for a group of very, very boring people, and they really are, like, yeah. UK, like, the Loose Women panel.
It's the deadest of the dead. Oh, it's
so
dead. Yeah, it's so bad.
Oh, dead.
We're so drunk after the NTAs. Yeah. Oh,
we
God.
We skipped a queue.
Oh,
can you believe it? Just, like, real your ma's group of mates on, like, in Benidorm for the weekend. Yeah. Kind of like, this is hilarious. Gonna have one too many strawberry daiquiris. Frozen kind.
No, it is, isn't it? That is who we're talking about here.
It had to be one of them, do you know what I mean? But I didn't think it was going to be this dark. And I think it's not being shown for as dark as it is.
Mm. Yeah.
But again,
there's still, like, a veil of protection, I feel. And there's still not a real question happening about that relationship and what that looks like. It's part of the conversation, but it's far more focused on who knew, you know, what did ITV do, blah, 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 which is all important. But no, people aren't really, I don't think, as bothered about the details and, like, the timeline of that relationship as they should be. My main surprise is just how quickly this has rolled. Like, I felt this story was going to go on, and I felt like we'd cover it again. I did not think we would need to cover it in 3 consecutive weeks, because it would have moved that quick. Like, I'm fatigued, guys. But, like, it's mad. ITV responded to his statement. They said, "We're deeply disappointed by the admissions of deceit made tonight by Philip Schofield. The relationships we have with those we work are based on trust. Philip made assurances to us, which he now acknowledges were untrue, and we feel badly let down. We accept his resignation from ITV and therefore can confirm that he will not be appearing on ITV as we had previously stated," which they did really clearly in their last statement only a week prior, promising that they would work together again with him on the Soap Awards and this other kind of unnamed future project. Like, as me and Cassie said last week, they tethered themselves to him pretty closely, even when he was moving away from This Morning. And within a week, they're like, that's it, cutting ties, no more. Like, everyone is jumping ship.
again, I think they were trying to protect their investment, and he is one of their biggest investments, because no matter what happens now, it's not just him who will be looked down on. The network will be as well.
Yeah.
Like, what I need is, like, I need the Martin Bashir interview. I need the deep, dark, grueling, the grueling, intensive interview, but not with him, with the person
the young man.
We don't have names. We don't know anything.
There is a name in the press, but I'm not going
to
say it.
There to be a name. Yeah. That's There's so names messed and pictures, up. Like.
But it's so messed up because, again, like, you know, as of the information we have, nothing illegal happened. But there seems no care or like thought put into, but there was so much we already didn't know. Maybe we don't know some more, and maybe we should protect this person just in case more comes out. Like, it's just like his picture is everywhere. Like where he works, like where he lives, like it's everywhere. And it's like,
not what he signed up for.
It's not what he signed up for. Like,
as a child.
Even if he was 18 at the time, like as we say about Love Islanders, and like at that age, what are you able to consent to, like, about this kind of stuff that will forever frame who
your
you
life.
Are? Like, you will never be separated from this story now, ever.
No. This is you, and this is kind of like any, I suppose, also any hope of your own career will always be shrouded by this.
Yeah.
And that's a really, really strange place to be, particularly for somebody who was in their teens and is now in their late 20s.
Yeah. Probably, like,
28, 27 now? 27?
I'd probably put him early. Yeah, probably around there somewhere.
That is a shocker, gang.
It's crazy. Maybe a little bit younger, but I wouldn't put him any older than 27, I don't think. But it's crazy because the main part of this statement and this story as of today is the conversation about the work environment at This Morning, and is it toxic? That is the main conversation. That is the fire that they're trying to put out. Philip posted on social media yesterday. He said, "Now I no longer work on This Morning. I'm free to say this. I hope you have noticed that it's the same handful of people with a grudge against me or the show who seem to have the loudest voice. This Morning is the best show to work on with the best people. In all the years I worked there, there was no toxicity. You can listen to those persistently loud voices if you like, but the thousands of guests over the years, thousands of staff and crew, hundreds of presenters and contributors all know it is a family of wonderful, talented, kind, hardworking people." Now, this started off a whole other conversation that I think has drawn the public eye away from, I would say, a more crucial thing that needs to be dealt with. This then stirred up Eamon Holmes. He got back in the ring. He was ready for another tweet.
Oh.
He said, "Schofield has just put out a delusional statement. Like Holly, he puts it on Insta stories. So if it goes wrong, there is no record of it after 24 hours. Pal, we all got the screenshots. We all got the screenshots.
Why is he... Before you move on, why is he the way that he is?
Yeah.
Like, what? It's like this kind of Piers Morgan effect where it's like people kind of regarded him for a while. Then he was kind of cast aside. And the minute that he was like, cool, Venom is the way to go. That's how I'll get. Like, it's desperate and it's delusional and it's strange.
It's very hard for his wife, Ruth, who continues to work at the network, was the main person, by all reports, who had a difficulty with Phil, reportedly went and took her concerns to ITV and This Morning and raised it with the executive producers, and like really was the one in the kind of line of fire last year when all these stories started surfacing. She was the one that got booted off. Eamon was only there because Ruth was there. Yeah. Ruth got booted off This Morning over to Loose Women. Like, I just don't understand why he thinks it's his place, because he's not talking about her. He's talking about himself.
Not talking about anything, really.
And also, like, he doesn't have the best track record with stuff he's, like, you know, and it's not the same stuff. Like, I'm not suggesting it's the same stuff, but, like, he said some shit over the years that you're like, Jesus, Eamon. Like, Ruth has had to dodge a few bullets with him as well, like.
Definitely just think he takes delight in the downfall of others. And I think that, again, he probably has this very kind of puffed up version of who he is and what he is to the media.
Yeah.
And I think he really thinks he's given us this like hard hitting opinion that everybody's like, yeah, thank God Eamon's gotten in on it.
Yeah.
Like, my guy.
Yeah. And it's constant. It's every tweet. It's every appearance on GB News now. He finished his tweet, ironically, by saying, "I'm reluctant to give the liar any more publicity. But believe me, Pip, if you're looking for a fight, you've picked the wrong person." And I'm like, I just feel like there was no need to get to that kind of tone. Like, there is so much damning evidence against Philip Schofield. You don't need to be like, I just thought that was unnecessary. If he had just said something about, I have spoken many times about the toxic culture that I experienced at this morning, so today's news comes as no surprise to me, that would have been a far stronger statement than just like, let's take this outside, bucko. Like, it's like, all right, pals, like, let's relax and just focus on the actual shit that needs to be sorted, not whatever. I don't give a fuck about your beef with Philip Schofield. I don't care. I don't care. No,
like, out of all the people that we want to know the beef about, Eamon is like the first.
Oh,
the so first on that list. He's back of the queue. He's back of the line. He's like all the way back at the end. And that's what I mean. These people are inherently boring.
Yeah.
That's all that they are. Every single one of these people, Holly's fucking boring. The Loose Women panel's boring. Alison Hammond, lover, boring. Dermot, boring. Like, all fine. And that's what I think that GB media does, like, mediocre personalities like no other. Like, they just really wheel them out and wheel them back in. And again, it is that real, like, we had a bit too many at an award ceremony. That's all anybody talks about in the media. Like, are we that starved?
Yeah.
Are we that starved of good news?
Yeah.
With stuff like this, again, with Eamon, and again, with kind of pretty much all of the media who are hammering this coverage and are kind of speculating. I'm like, slow news week.
Yeah.
Huh? Like,
but also as well, like, I just think people need to be like aware, like, people who don't, I suppose, I don't know, play in this area and don't like enjoy their pop culture in this space, mm-hmm. need to also be aware that like Eamon Holmes and the likes are banking in on this. Like, there are a few people who are making statements and it feels like more like, I don't want to say he's not being genuine, but some people feel like they're more talking to it because they feel like a responsibility to talk to what they experienced. Sure.
Yep.
Whereas Eamon Holmes, I don't even know if he's like full-time contract with GB News, but there are many people like Eamon Holmes, not just him, who are like your Dan Wootons and all these people who are like fully mouthpiecing it now, because that is, they are getting paid contribution fees. They are getting called up and brought on all of these shows, talking on all these radio stations because they can quote unquote speak to the culture. And there is a part of this that is like, I'm banking on something that I have a very direct experience of. It was in the news last year about how closely linked to this I was. I absolutely have something to say. And then you have someone like Dr. Ranj Singh, who is a longtime contributor with This Morning. I think he worked with them for like 10 years. And he put out a statement, which again felt more like he felt a responsibility as someone who has often spoke about mental health and all this kind of stuff to flag that he had concerns and that he raised those concerns. He said that he genuinely loved and valued working there. However, over time, I grew increasingly worried about how things were behind the scenes and how people, including myself, were being treated. I didn't know the truth about what was going on with Philip, but I do know the issues with This Morning go far beyond him. It takes more than one person to create a culture. He raised his concerns with senior ITV execs, he says, but he said afterwards he found himself being used less and less. He said he even took his concerns directly to the top of ITV. The culture This Morning had become toxic, no longer aligned with ITV's values. And I felt like because I had whistleblown, I was managed out. ITV have again responded. Their internal comms department is fucking flat out this week. They're saying, we are very sorry to read Dr. Ranj's post today at ITV. We are fully committed to providing every opportunity for anyone who works with us to raise any concern or comments they may have. Following the complaint made by Dr. Ranj, we appointed an external and independent advisor to carry out a full review. This external review found no evidence of bullying or discrimination. So again, that felt like more of a purposeful statement about this whole thing. We then opened the show this morning. There was lots of questions about who would present. Dermot O'Leary and Alison Hammond had filled in last week because Holly is taking 2 weeks off. They were back this morning. And again, a very bizarre acknowledgement of huge news over the last week. Dermot O'Leary saying, we all know we happen to be in the news at the moment. And of course, we appreciate that. But just from both of us, the whole team here, the crew, the guys downstairs, we love making this show for all of you. And Alison added, we really do. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to continue doing that. And that was it. Their contributors on the sofa spoke for a few months about how happy they were and how much they loved This Morning. And that was it. And there are questions about if This Morning will survive this. Do you think they will?
No. It, like, shorthand. Hard to say this without insulting half of Britain.
I'll just say we the kind of people
that make this their bread and butter are the kind of people who will not take lightly to what has gone on, but will also feel very kind of, I suppose. And I not so much, I don't want to be like, oh, forgotten about, but kind of they feel like the shine's gone. Do you get me? Like, they're never going to be able to turn around and go, yeah, this show I really trust and I really love it and blah, 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 and whatever else like that, because they were the same people who were like giggling at them getting drunk at the at the awards. But
what a laugh.
What a lol, you guys.
Oh, them were the days.
Dermot, I think Alison is a great presenter. I think Dermot's a great presenter. I think the show is fine. I think it kind of fills a void, fills a gap. I think Holly and Phil were both very kind of beloved. And I think the issue is the most beloved thing about them was their friendship. It wasn't them. It wasn't them as individuals. You know, people weren't tuning into the Cube, sweating. Can't wait to see Phil, like, at his action.
The Cube. Oh, it's the Cube, guys.
Who's going to take over the Cube?
That's the fucking story.
Do you know my boyfriend has applied to be on the Cube? Like,
stop.
So many times. He fully is convinced he'd be whopper at the Cube.
Oh,
he
my god,
can hear me right now and he's gonna text me, I'd be great at the Cube. Okay. Honestly,
what's the audition process like?
Brits, they are always, they're at it again.
They fucking love like daytime game show nonsense. They live for that shit
nonsense.
Over here.
They love nonsense.
Oh, love nonsense.
Yeah, they love it. Love nonsense.
Like, I mean, what's happening at that time in Ireland? It's just like, well, actually, back to back, Home and Away, Neighbours, so like better.
Sorry, you said they're still wheeling in the state pathologist for Dancing with Stars. We can't talk. We're trying to rework Rosie and Jim.
Flat out, so they are.
We're trying to get Bosco back in, but see if we can get an influencer to do it. We're busy. We are busy.
Oh my god, I need to get that Gen Z audience in, you know. Yeah. Fuck me.
What do you think they like? Big colours. I'm pretty sure that they're pitching Fashion there not too.
They're like, copper hair is in Bosco.
Bosco, my god. Shall we do it? Why not?
Oh, no. God.
I don't.
What was the point we were making? Oh, yeah. None of them are stars on their own.
None of them are stars on their own. And if they are, it's for very kind of different formats.
Yeah.
I think chat shows, I'm surprised they're still really as relevant as they kind of are. Just do as the rest of Ireland is doing. Start a podcast. It's the same as an Instagram page. Anyway, stupid. Why wouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Why wouldn't you, Phil?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you, Eamon? Oh, Eamon and Phil having a podcast. Oh, I would tune
I'd listen to that. I would listen to that.
I would tune in.
I feel like they have no choice but to entirely rebrand. Like, and they were kind of due it anyway. Like, I feel like the look and feel of the show has been kind of consistent for like the last at least 5 years.
It's giving the Saturdays.
Do you know what I think of is like, I always think of when people say something like that. Like, do you remember the Schwarzkopf ads that Girls Aloud did where each of them wear a different color bottle? Do you remember that?
Hey, do you not remember their Eiler collab? And you couldn't get them poxy Cheryl lashes anywhere. You couldn't
get them. Oh my god, they were the best Cheryl's. Ones. And she got two, and the rest only got one. Like,
it was like, anyway, we fancy Cheryl the most, so we're gonna move on.
They were like, X Factor, you know. So I feel like they're due a rebrand. The big question is over Holly now and where she stands with all of this. She responded to Philip's statement, I believe yesterday as well, if not Saturday. She said it's taken time to process yesterday's news. When reports of this relationship first surfaced, I asked Phil directly if it was true and I was told it was not. It's been very hurtful to now find out that that was a lie. What is next for her? Because like you say,
hopefully fucking nothing.
She has spent 14 years cultivating an image of her own, but an integral part of her image is this like brotherly, sisterly link to Phil. Yeah. We go on family vacays together. You know, his coming out will be me and him discussing it like a very private, personal moment. Like, they have fucking flogged that horse for years. Yeah. It is so hard to course correct on that now, I feel. Like, surely her management are like, Christ, this is like an entire overhaul of everything that we've made you be for the last like 10 years.
Like, I feel bad in saying hopefully nothing. I don't wish that for her, but I feel like this is overrated, the pinnacle of her career. This is the this is the pinnacle of her career. I don't think there's anything else. I think mammy blogging, fairy ads, and like, again, a radio or a podcast, do like a happy place. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called for someone? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do something like, I don't know. I'm just kind of, again, I can't give an opinion that's not like get rich, because it's not me. It's just not a bar of me. I get it. I understand why it's popular, but I think it's just so like, it's so replaceable.
Yeah.
And I just think the show itself, as you said, it needs a revamp. It's giving, you know, it really is. Like, go back to, what was it called? Live and Kicking. Like, that's what we need. We need Live and Kicking back. We need all of those.
Bit of Takeshi's Castle or something on the morning. I'd be happy.
We need chaos. Chaos. We need like funny reporting and big personalities.
Very hard for her.
And I don't want to be like, we need younger people. I don't think we need younger people. I think we need better, more interesting people. But those shows thrive on basicness. You know, that's what they like. They hone
having
in on
said that, right?
Yeah.
When I worked at the female publishers back in the day, like covering the entertainment stuff for them, 9:15 every morning, I'd have my notification set for Holly on Instagram. I only took it off like 2 years ago. I literally totally forgot. Every morning around 9:15, she'd post her outfit for this morning, and we would cover that bitch every day. Oh, if there was a Zara skirt involved, the clicks you would get. Like, there is so much value in her.
There's like a lot of weight in her work. Like, there really is.
There's still definitely something tangible there for her, but it's give her the cube.
Do that Keshi's Castle in the morning. Give her that.
The new white toast.
Let's do something else. I don't know. I think it's kind of like it's a double-edged sword though, isn't it? Because it's people really want to believe that she knew everything about it. Like, they really want to believe that she was like the number one like insider and was kind of protecting him. I don't believe that, but I also don't believe that she was entirely innocent, but I don't want to say that like it's not innocent or guilty, you know, that kind of way. It's like, I doubt she was,
I think, even
lacking
like
knowledge, but at the same time, I don't think it's her place in any way, shape, or form to talk about something that has essentially imploded her career as well.
Yeah,
because like the responsibility of this, it doesn't just sit with like her popularity will definitely go down with this as well, because
100%
it's going to be like guilty by association, and that's just going to be the end of that chapter. And I feel like no matter what else kind of comes out, it's not really going to shock as much as the initial Phillips taking a step away.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's one of those shitty secrets that everybody else seems to know, that like it was, everyone knew, but nobody talked about it.
Yeah. That's the thing, right? Because like, even if all we know is all there is.
Yeah.
It's bad. Like,
it's mega bad.
Like, even if people like Holly, and she's not the only one, but because she's the most visible, the most like linked to him, it's the easiest place to like throw criticism or throw your protection. Because there are also people who are like, oh, poor Holly, she must be so upset. Like, there's also that side of the coin.
Yeah.
All of these people are admitting that they knew of reports years ago about Phil potentially having an inappropriate relationship with a male colleague, because at the time the reports were that he was potentially underage. We didn't have clarity on when the relationship started. Yeah. So at the time that was the story, and nobody spoke out. There was enough weight and power still in this like ecosystem that they were like, well, look, the investigation didn't throw up anything. Now we know that he has clarified. He's saying that the relationship started when he was older than 18, and they're all saying they knew. It's like, how, it's amazing what people happening. Are willing to be outraged by and what they're not, and what they would hold on to. Yeah. Like, the toxic work culture is really where you want to focus. Like, there's so much other weird shit happening.
Honestly, just pop over to one of their many random segments, and I'm sure you go looking for worms, you're gonna find them.
Oh my God. Look, I'm sure we will be covering this.
I'm sure week four. We're talking again. About Billy.
Oh, Jesus. I'm sure there will be more updates here and we will cover it. But let's move on to something. I was going to say something slightly more upbeat, but maybe not. Love Island. ITV were like, the ITV press office were like, oh, what's going out today? No more Philip Schofield emails. Great, Love Island. Let's go.
Great shit. Launch the cast.
Love Island Summer 2023 cast announced this morning. Carla, we have been on this journey for quite some years now. And look, we have this, I feel like it's a bit.
We have this conversation every year.
Bit tired now. Fucking hell. I'm not going to ask, are you watching, right? Because I feel like we're very curious and we want to see, but like, it's not grasping.
It's not. And we had a little convy about this right before we hopped on this. We are kind of aging out of the show. And like, as a 32-year-old, I know that sounds outrageous, but like the last time they had a 29-year-old was Davide. And that's, I don't even know if he was 29, was he?
I think so.
Anyway. The show itself... As I was saying to Orla earlier on, it's no shagging, it's no drinking, it's no smoking, it's no fighting. Nothing for
What's
me.
What's in it for us?
What's in it for us? Like, you're after, I'm after getting unbelievable maths series. Oh. I'm after getting Scandival, and you're presenting me this with teeny boppers and bikinis. And I just finished that 3 months ago.
Yeah.
It's not hitting like it used to.
Yeah.
And I think that there is so much to be said. And again, I hate bringing everything back to Vanderpump Rules, but that show has really delivered.
Yeah.
Something that we found out about on March the 1st. It is the 29th of May and people cannot stop talking about it.
Yeah.
To be able to deliver something like that.
Yeah.
You just need something special. And I think Love Island is, unfortunately, with the math series being so top tier and being just so, you couldn't predict it.
Yeah.
Love Island has just become that, like, safety net and comfort blanket, and it's like, I hate being like, the Gen Zers are out there doing, but I don't know who's kind of, unless they deliver something incredible.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it, the winter series, there was great stories, storylines, a brilliant cast, but it still wasn't hitting.
Yeah.
So, because it's too long.
It's too long, man. It's too long.
It's too long. It's too long.
It's structurally unchanged.
Exactly. It's too long and it's structurally boring. Yeah. And I want to see Maya Jama thrive. And I think she's the right person, but 2 years too late. And I think that this is, unless something mega crazy, and look, we'll probably be on my pod and I'll be like, oh, I can't believe it. They did it again. They got me.
Well done, you guys. Oh, no, you guys. Like, I just think, yeah, like, we're aging out of the space where we feel like they're in our, like,
it could happen to us.
Sorry, yeah, we're calling to them or whatever. Like, it could be me. We've aged out of that, but we're still getting the same package deal that we were getting 5 years ago.
Exactly.
So the new viewers who are now very much the target audience are getting a very stale, structured show.
Very stale.
We are no longer we're getting the same thing, but feel more distant from the concept than ever, even though we know what to expect. Like, I don't know why there is a reluctance to change the structure. Nobody is like, the structure wins, it's absolutely nailed, like, every year it delivers, because it doesn't. It doesn't deliver every year anymore because you're so reliant on the cast. Change the structure, create a structure that will always work, and then the cast can just fill in the gaps and go
fill in the gaps and hopefully have a personality. Like, you cannot keep feeding me easy singles and calling it cheddar. Like, you just can't. It's when there's like a change in the air and you just can't really figure out what's, like, you know, when you can't figure out what's wrong in your own relationship and you're like, something weird going on here. And that's kind of where it's at with Love Island. It's like, I love you and I'm so thankful for the years that we spent together.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And I say it every time, I'm like, oh, no, actually I didn't. I was always hardcore until the winter and I was like, I really don't want to watch this series. Then I did it anyway. But to be honest, there was weeks where I'd be catching up and I'd be like, fast forward. And I'd be like, just let me find the highlights. Let me find this, that and the other. It's kind of...
And I think because not everyone was watching winter, those dips didn't feel like, oh, well, I still want to watch just in case. Like, you were like, well, sure, no one's watching anyway, so I'll just catch it up at the weekend.
And there was mega drama going on and people still weren't interested. I just think they rallied it too much. It's the same situation that happened with the only reason it came back very strong is because of COVID.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only reason. I think otherwise it would have been gone dushed in the ground by 2021. I don't think it's going to be their last series, but I think there will be a big change to how everything happens. It's drivel, but not in a good way, not in a fun, lighthearted way. There's better shows out there now that are coming with unbelievable casts, sheer chaos, and a great format.
Yeah.
Love Island isn't one of them.
Yeah.
I don't.
Actually, Ian Sterling put up a carousel on his Instagram just a while ago, and it was like all of his press shots every year. And I was just like, how ironic that, like, all of these are exactly the same. I was like, and thus is the show. Like, even the fact that we're still doing this tired ass press shots, like, these girls are wearing the fucking same bikinis that the girls in previous shots. It's like, it's, and even they look like they were there from 2015.
Low budget.
You're like,
mega low budget vibe.
And it's not a low budget. This show makes money, and it is the one reason why it is still there. It makes bank for ITV. Mm-hmm. How does it look? The exact same.
Exactly. And I think, like, they keep doing the same things, trying to incite, like, reactions, but, like, the comments are down.
Yeah.
Like, the comments on the new cast are like,
yeah. We normally cover it every year. We normally, like, they email it out every half hour for the, like, for like 5 hours until everyone is announced. Yeah. Then they usually set out, like, the group one in the evening, with, like, the group shots and all that kind of stuff. Then you get the email maybe tomorrow, the day after, of the villa. And, like, we normally cover as the cast members come out. And this morning I was like, I'm just not arse. Like, I don't care. Like,
no one cares about it. And this is, I think this is it. Beforehand it was real, like, speculation. Who are you going to match? Now they're just like, get them in and let's see, shall we?
Yeah.
Just get them in there. Let them out like a bunch of rabbit dogs. Let's see what happens. I don't care.
If they had announced that we're cutting it to 6 weeks.
Oh.
Imagine if they had come out today being like, we're cutting it to 6 weeks. Casa Amor is no more.
Yeah.
And they were like,
but wait until you see what goes on.
Begin or something. We'd be like, what are they going to do? You'd be fucking buzzing. You'd be like, oh my God, like, it's shorter. I'm getting less content. You're losing the one thing that, like, typically is the most, like, drawing.
Is the driver.
I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so excited. But it's like, it's just fatigued.
Oh, the cast. Yeah, you want to run through the cast?
Let's just have a quick. Yeah, let's. I mean, fucking hell. I don't even know. I'm going to run through.
Please.
Their leading first one announced was Ruchi. I don't know how to say her name yet. But I'll know you next week, hon. She's 24. She's from Sutton. She's a beautician. She is the one of the first in a while, actually, Asian representation on the show, which I know last season, again, was another discussion point of, like, you know, again, with these token Black Islanders and no inclusion of other minorities.
Yeah.
So she was, I think it was very deliberate from them to lead with her this morning. There is nothing, like, grabby about her questions. Like, there's nothing, like, outrageous in there that I think is going to make headlines. Tyreek, 24, he's from Essex. He's a footballer. He is deaf in one ear. So I'm seeing that he is kind of dominating the headlines a little bit this afternoon for, and just being linked to Tasha, because sure, they're all the same, aren't they, ITV? Like, wild.
Wild.
He is a good friend of Toby, though, from Toby and Chloe Finn. He says he's one of his best friends. Now, I wait for Toby to confirm that, but reports are, went to school together.
This means nothing. This means nothing. Again, Toby, I was like, Toby. Not a memorable Islander for me. Memorable of his own season, maybe. And that's because the season was poor.
Toby. Yeah, it was poor.
It was poor.
Molly Marsh, which just sounds like a fake name. 24, from Yorkshire. She's an actress. Like her mother, who don't click the headlines, is related to a quote-unquote Corey actress. She played an unnamed nurse in about 7 episodes over the last 10 years. Don't kick the headlines, folks. You're welcome.
You're fine.
Absolute bullshit. George Fensom, 24, from Bedford. Yeah.
yep, that's him.
Catherine from Dublin. We have Irish representation, 22. She is a commercial real estate agent and divine. I would say probably the best looking from the press shots.
Yes, yeah, she would be top two.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know how he says his name. He's from Bordeaux /London. He's 26. He is a communications manager and model. And there's lots of headlines linking him to Davide simply because he's not from the UK.
simply because English is not his first language. Yeah.
He's like, you're talking European.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we did Italian stallion. Now we've got this French bistro.
So, like, Jesus, the reaching to try and, like, yeah, make people fall in love. Ella, 23, from Glasgow. She's a model. She was in World War Z as an extra, and she met Brad Pitt when she was 12.
Cool.
You definitely put that in your two truths and a lie, wouldn't you?
You would.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be like, I've met Brad Pitt. I got arrested. And I had sex in the park. Which one is it?
I have four cats.
Yeah.
That's a lie. I have five. Mitchell, 26, from Sheffield. He's a gas engineer. Jess, 22, from London, aesthetics practitioner. She... no headlines dominating about her, barring the fact that she loves a Tesco meal deal, which, like, relatable queen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Andre Furtado, no reported relation to Nelly, 21, from Dudley. He's a economics graduate and clothing brand entrepreneur.
Just say you're a crypto bro and leave it at that.
Just say you're going to try and sneak your clothing brand into the villa to make a few sales. Like, come on.
Do we know our sponsors yet? I'm more interested in the sponsors.
That's what
I'm more interested in. Is it going to be a Bootsy Basic? Is it going to be a, like, what is it? I'm so, so interested to know.
I wonder if some other kind of secondhand style space is going to make a big swing. Like, I wonder, would like a Vintage, like, or something, because they're spending a lot more recently. I just don't know if they would have a budget to rival eBay.
Yes. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't think these long-term partnerships are hitting the way that they used to. Mm. And I think brands have had to be mega clever with the Cozy Lives they've had to kind of essentially, like, change the way that things are being done. It wouldn't show, like, I'd love an L Etsy, or I'd love an L. I love it. What's a Depop?
The dates are all like making in candles or something.
Yeah. Just like, it's just mad, like, little handbags in the corner made out of silk, you know?
Yeah.
For animals all over the shop.
How fucking easy was that brand slot? Like, I'm going to say 4 years ago, five years ago.
Wow. You could just be like, lump my budget. There you go.
Put anything on the air. Anything. Literally just put the brand name up for 20 seconds. I don't care. Like, just get me in. It was crazy. It is different now. And so much of that is impacted just generally by the culture of, like, even just TikTok and just a changing generation and, like, this less filtered social media presence. But, like, I'm with you on the branded stuff. I find it very interesting to see who's getting in the game.
Book the cast. I want to see what brands are getting involved.
Imagine if they did that this year. Like, first up, it's eBay. We're like,
covering it. Like, wow.
Still get more engagement than the fucking cast, though. I'll tell you that much.
And do you know who else I want to know? Who's the performer? It's been getting worse and worse and worse throughout the year. So
it's going to be some. It's this year. It's definitely going to be some, like, one hit wonder from TikTok. Like, it's just.
I think it's going to be your own. What's her name? Eurovision.
Oh yeah,
May Muller.
Yeah,
something like that. She'll do a song with Joel Corey, and it'll be like the two of them just kind of like one hand.
God love Joel Corey, man.
You wheel him out, you wheel him back in. That chap.
That's a businessman.
That is a businessman. He knows how to make hay when the sun is shining. He knows that his career's four years long.
Sophie's boyfriend on Geordie Shore.
Yeah,
look at him now.
He is so clever.
He had the last laugh. Oh, so clever.
He's so clever. Like, he knows.
The tunes are banging, like, to be fair.
The tunes are banging and they're very of a time. Like, he's going to be so irrelevant in a few years. Like, so irrelevant in two or three. Because now...
But we'll still eat it up.
Lick the ground that he wants.
That'll be our summer of 69. We'll be like, Joel Corey, give it to me in the bar. Love it. That's another one. All the cast have changed their bios to "I'm off to find love in the villa" as they did last year. So presumably the social media ban is staying put. Other notable headlines today. I say that ironically. Maya Jama will be back as host, which I'm obviously happy about, but like that's not a headline. We knew. So
again, I just want to see the, again, I'll be following her very closely on Instagram just for the pics, for the outfits, but she'll be there what, three times? So it doesn't really.
I would like if they just, and we said this so many times on My Pod on Paper, like introduced more Jeopardy.
Yes.
To like the vote offs and the recouplings and all this stuff, and get her in there to like facilitate that Jeopardy more. Like, I just don't know why they don't. Like, this fear of losing good castmates, that's dead. Like, that applied during like Maura's season when it's like she is just too good and she's such a star. The show isn't making stars anymore. It's about the twists and the turns. And sometimes a lead character has to get killed off to get everyone back in the show. You know what I mean? So like, we need Jeopardy. She's back. India and Sam back hosting the Morning After podcast. And by my maths, and it's interesting that I noted this, it should end around Monday, July 31st.
I can't accept that.
That's tidy, I think. It's not August.
I can't accept the fact that it's that long, guys.
Oh,
it's not always June in 2 days. Mm-hmm.
I know.
What's going on? Get Inti and Sam to do this morning.
Hey. Inti and Dami, they love a couple.
Would watch that. Do you know, I was only thinking, I think Inti and Dami, right?
Yeah.
I actually think Inti and Dami are my favorite ever couple because I truly believe their chemistry.
Yeah.
Like, I believe that if the show wasn't there or like if the going got tough, I really believe the two of them don't think that they're together for convenience. I think they're together because they truly fancy the shit out of each other and really, really like each other. The chemistry in everything they do is off the charts.
They big each other up on social like so naturally. Like, it's too much. Yes. It's too like regular for it not to be real. Do you know what I mean?
Also, I think just they make so much sense, like from the little that we know about them, they make so much sense as a couple. And I think like just genuinely like their banter, the way that they kind of go about things, like everything about them, they're low key, but like out there all the time. Yeah. How do you be mysterious, but also everywhere all at once?
Yeah.
The two of them.
And also the fact that they're like such good friends with like Tasha and Andrew and stuff, like that feels really genuine. Like that actually does feel like they get on and they're like, oh, like, let's get pizza at yours and I call it. Like, it does feel real. They're definitely up there for me with, like, the Jamies and Camillas. Not in the same way that I'm like, oh my God, I love them. But just in that feeling of, like, that was actually it. You actually found it on that show. And it's real. And even if it doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
That was, like,
a glorious moment in time. Yeah. It's, like, one that we'll always remember. Jamie and Camilla are mom and dad. Dami and India are, like, you're really cool hot friends. That you're so excited got together because of, like, everything's a party with the two of them.
Just so stunning, aren't they? They're so good looking. It's crazy. It's back next Monday. Pray for our souls.
Sure, let's see how we get on. Huh?
Let's see how we get on. For this week, loves of the week. Carla, do you want to start? Have you been loving anything in particular this week? Anything brought you joy?
I have four things.
Oh, amazing. Great.
Four things.
I love that you were so happy this week.
And they're all, honestly, they're all very, you know, I do a peek and a pit every week.
I love
a peek and a pit.
For anyone who doesn't follow Carla on any social media platform, fix your life. She does this peek and pit is so good. And also, I have to say to you, because we got so many questions a couple of weeks ago, my love of the week was very unusual for me. It was the Bridgerton bra made famous by you, as named by Michelle McCormack. I got it.
Bridgerton bra.
Oh my
Isn't
god,
it insane.
It's insane. Yeah. I got it for two weddings. I had back-to-back weddings and I wore it and I got so many compliments about my little titties.
Yeah.
And I was like so proud of them. They were like up and present and like alert all day.
You're so welcome.
I said it's my love of the week and people were like, what's the bra? Give me the link. Or like, what's the name? And I was like, sending them over to your stories. It's on Carla's stories in your like Amazon highlights.
In my Amazon highlights. I think I actually even have a bra highlights now. But if you go to my Amazon shop, I have a dedicated bra section.
It's like the first in the highlight. Yeah. It's like one of the first links that comes up.
Yeah. You'll know it.
You'll know it. And you don't need to be little bitty titty committee. Like, no. I don't mind saying I'm a double D to an F.
Yeah.
No, double D to an E. A, B, C, D, E. Fucking hell. The heat is getting to me. And I was like, let's see. And I was like, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
They go the whole way. I think they go H.
And like good colors, like a good range of colors.
Great range of colors. I love the Bridget. So, I'm so happy.
But I had to give you a shout out for it. So yeah, get to your love of the week now. Sorry.
So I have a couple of different things, right? So first of all,
I'm so
Halle Bailey's voice in The Little Mermaid. Okay. Every time I hear her voice.
Why are these sisters everywhere?
They are
everywhere.
They're amazing. That's why. Have you ever come across two sisters so individually talented, but together also have that magnetic chemistry? That's so hard for, like, that's like what's Donna and Joe, your star vibes.
I used to watch them on YouTube when they were like literally kids.
Get them to just cover like that. Get them to cover love, question mark. That's what I want to see.
But these girls are everywhere. Like, good on them.
But they are so talented. But they get, you know what it is? It's like they find every opportunity. They just like suck the life out of, which I'm obsessed with, but like in the best way possible.
Yeah.
So Halle Bailey landed the gig because Rob Goodall? I can't remember his full name, but anyway, it's Rob, whatever his name is, Rob, the dude Marshall? Who did The Little Mermaid. Marshall saw her perform at the Grammys.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh, is this Ariel?" And he was like, because she's so otherworldly, like beautiful.
Yeah.
He was like, she's, and her voice is just like, Jesus, insane. It just sends you to a place. And he said she came and auditioned like a week later. He asked her to audition like a week later. And she did Part of Your World and he burst into tears and he was like, that's it. Like, that's the emotion that you want out of a live action. It can't be like floating around, you know, Will Smith can't be
floating around. Treading water, like.
You can't be treading water over the best.
Look at this stuff.
Yeah. Isn't it fucking me? You know. Yes.
And like her press tour outfits as well. Like, I think it was the first premiere where she had that like metallic, like wavy, and it just looked like the water.
It looks like the water. I was
fuck me. She looks so good.
Oh, whoever's styling you, just like insane. Yes, I'm all over it. I think she's a massive career ahead of her as well. So it's like exciting to see someone who's so young and so talented, but also seems to like really know themselves. Like her and Chloe really know themselves.
They've been in it for ages, though, right? Like they've been working with like Beyonce and Jay-Z for like, I want to say like definitely over 5 years. It's like a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say like not a decade, but not a decade. Like a long
time. They're touching on it.
They're touching on that decade, yo. So her voice has been really thrilling me this week. A sleeping mask. Guys, a silk sleeping mask for the eyes.
Yeah, I'm on this buzz.
It's too bright in the mornings and it's too bright in the evenings also.
Yeah.
And I saw a TikTok and it was basically this scientist guy who does like sleep clinics and he was like measuring the quality of sleep that you have with an eye mask on versus with it off. And it was like the difference was astronomical. It was like, if you keep waking up really unrested, a sleep mask. And it takes a little bit of time to train yourself to get used to it. But he was like, once you do, the quality of your sleep will just go through the roof. It's just one of the biggest things, more than sound. I think the like obviously earplugs and all that other kind of crack is great, you know, just black out a room, put a comfort blanket on,
just full coma, you know,
just full,
but like I don't wear mine every night if it's just if I find myself like really restless trying to get to sleep or like I'll put, or if I feel sick sometimes I'll put it on because it just makes me feel calm. But I keep getting videos like that about mouth taping.
So mouth taping can be dangerous because it depends on, it depends if you have like any kind of version of sleep apnea, because you don't really know that you have that until it's too late.
Yeah.
But so mouth taping, people are like getting a bit, ooh, that's kind of dangerous. But like a sleep mask, oh my God, I can't begin to express a sleep mask.
It is nice.
The difference in me, the difference in the energy, the difference in everything. It's really, I can't recommend it enough. 10 out of 10. If you're a restless sleeper. So that's another thing. Vanderpump Reunion, we go round two. Round two this week.
Thoughts on the uncensored version. So they released the like regular edited version on Bravo, right? And then they put an uncensored version on Peacock.
But Hey You have the uncensored version. So if you're watching on Hey You, that is the uncensored version, and it's the long, it's the extended cut. So it goes from like 42 minutes to 56, I think.
Okay.
Give an extra 15 minutes.
TikTok is telling me that that was the best decision Bravo ever made. Do you agree?
Yes, because there's so many, like hearing so many beeps, it stunts the flow of conversation, number one, but also having that extra little bit of 15. It's not, sometimes what you get is, they'd be in the middle of a fight and then all of a sudden Andy'd be like, I'm going to change gears for a minute. And you're like, no, show me the start, the middle of the end of this.
Yeah.
There is nothing that I will not do for this drama. I am so engulfed, and something new is coming out every day. The way that they have mastered this reveal, the way that they have, like, that show was about to be canceled. It was on its last.
That was my understanding of where it was.
Because they reinvented, so essentially they, season 8, they reinvented the cast and they introduced like 4 new cast members who were very good cast members. But the unfortunate problem was the main girl, who was amazing, left. She didn't really want to hack it. 2 of the lads were found out for being racist. And then the 4th girl kind of went into, like old tweets kind of thing, like pulled up. And then the 4th girl kind of became like a B character, like she's there but she's not really connected to anybody else. And then 2 of the main cast members, who were like 2 of the chaos starters, again got fired for a kind of racist, there was like a racist incident where they, it's a very long story, but they kind of accused another cast member or something just because she was black and all this other kind of crack. It was very, very very strange and very intricate, so I'm not even going to do a bad botch job now of that. So coming back, it really needed, like, after losing the good new characters and some of their anchor characters, it needed a kick up the hole. Season 9 was boring. Then, you know, one of the main couples divorced and everybody was excited to kind of follow that. But the problem was, like, a divorce isn't really, like, what can you say? They're done. Do you know? Like, nobody, unless you're there in the trenches of the actual divorce.
Yeah.
One of those things. And then this happened. And lads, when I mean this is a reinvention, the way that they have done the press tour, the way that Bravo have their contracts.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It is sensational.
Yeah.
I am hanging on to every TikTok, every word, every snippet. Such a varied cast, such a fucked up drama, like such an insane thing to happen.
And also like how the show has been elevated in the ecosystem. Like,
yes.
Like obviously I'm a huge Housewives fan.
Yeah.
And like they've always just been top tier.
Yeah, they're top tier. Yeah.
You have all the other shows that kind of filter in, and sometimes it changes based on like good or bad seasons or whatever. Yeah. Like Vanderpump Rules stars would go and watch What Happens Live, Andy's late night talk show, and they'd be behind the bar, which is like, you know, you get maybe 5 minutes of conversation. You're not really asked any questions. You don't really speak to the fans. And then he has like his 2 guests. And like now it's to the point where if a Vanderpump Rules person isn't on the guest panel, whoever is getting asked about
Vanderpump Rules. Yeah.
It's just, like, it has totally moved up in the ecosystem entirely.
Yeah. And Chrissy Teigen did a whole Happens Live on Vanderpump Rules, like Rob Lowe was on it. Like there's just the people that are watching are now just, they have such incredible opinions.
It's such a reward for people who have stuck through it through a couple of really bad seasons.
Exactly. And it's just one of those things that it was like, I used to be, you know, you went from sweating to watch it every day to kind of like catching up on 2 or 3 episodes. I'd always stick with it, but it wasn't like have to absolutely see what happens. Now I'm like following every blog, doing every single thing.
Yeah.
And it, like, not that it gives me such joy. I think it's just such a, this cast, I can't begin to express the reason why Vanderpump Rules is such a good show is because these are the worst human beings in the world and they know it and they show it. There is no holds barred, absolute arseholes.
Yeah.
The worst kind of people. And they are just out there showing their skin. And it's not this kind of like, we work in a bar, there's a bit of drama. Now they have businesses. They're talking about their finances. You're finding out like stuff that is really intricate and really personal. Like you really feel like you know these people, because
it feels like early days of Housewives when they had to give that much. Like
had to give that much. It's not this kind of top line bullshit anymore where everyone's trying to be a private person, but in front of a camera. Yeah. Not at all. these people are like getting out there, admitting to their really fucked up misdeeds, swilling each other. Who is swilling people?
I know.
In 2022.
I love a swill, man.
It's
such like low-key drama that just like is so, and it always causes chaos. I just think it's such a great addition to an episode.
You're getting hilarious merch out of like little kind of, and it's not like embarrassing merch. No, it's like really kind of funny merch, like number one guy in this group merch. Do you know what I mean? Like this stuff, and they're all mad, like they're all coked out of it. It's incredible. You know, when you're just like this friend group is imploding and it's so toxic.
Yeah.
And it's such a bad, and then like a bad position. And then you've got Lisa Vanderpump, the biggest shit stirrer that Bravo has ever hired, sitting there being like their queen. And I would die for her. Simply die for her.
I thought, and that was also an interesting thing because there was like mounting, I wouldn't say pressure, but there was like growing reports that she would potentially go back to Beverly Hills, and people were kind of crying out for her to go back to Beverly Hills.
Not with this one.
And I would say she definitely considered it because Vanderpump Rules was the weaning. All I was seeing from being in the Bravo space but not being a viewer was that it was just weaning and people weren't as gripped anymore and it had lost its spark. And I was like, well, maybe she'll go back then because that's an easy, like, they need someone like her. It would be such great. Now she's probably like, fuck that. No, I get the same paycheck over here. I don't have to get involved in all that fucking mess.
I'm the cool one. Like, yeah. I get to rule the roost. I get the control. Like,
I get to be Andy, like, essentially a friend of for exactly, a housewife for... salary.
Exactly, exactly.
And it's my fucking show. It's like my name on the door. So
and it promotes my businesses. Like, it's... The restaurants are getting more quid from it.
Yeah.
She is getting more quid from it. I went to Sir last May, and like the front bar is now just a merch store. Do you know?
I wish I did this over COVID with Housewives because I'm so gutted now that I'm not in it.
It doesn't matter. Like, I've talked about it numerous times in my podcast. You can pick up Vanderpump Rules. Season one, fucking chaos. Season two, carnage, unbearable. Season three, the secrets that come out from season two that you didn't realize. Like, every season is a banger because, as I said, these people hate each other but truly believe that they are destined for great things, and there is no better watching than like, why do you think Harrison works so well on Maths? Like, that delusion, that conviction in being an arsehole and thinking that you can get away with it. Like, their cast over the years, they've made some they've hit some bum notes with like one or two side characters, but that kind of, like, it's like Housewives in the way that you kind of know immediately and then they're kind of edited out.
You've got
like side characters becoming main characters. Mad stuff. People are spitting on each other, like,
fucking hell. Where do you see it these days?
You just don't. So I would recommend to anybody, if you haven't watched Vanderpump Rules, get on it. It has not aged. It really hasn't. Like, you know, the outfits and the music. Yeah, fair. But like, it as a show has not aged. It is going to go down in the history books. Do it.
Okay. Fucking hell. What life am I going to have?
I know.
Did you say you had one more or was that it?
I have one more.
Go for it, Carla. I love that all these things are bringing you joy this week.
I know. They really do. So I'm a big reader, big fantasy reader, read a lot of fantasy books, read a lot of books in general.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people are like, you know, when it's like, name one weird thing about me, I'm like, I read sci-fi and fantasy. Like, that's like my thing. And everyone's like, what? A book that has just launched that I'm obsessed with, it's called The Book of G, and it is Gaston and his retelling after Beauty and the Beast. He is he has no memories, and he is trying to figure out why he is the villain, and it's like told in an adult fantasy setting. Obsessed.
Wow.
Oh, I will be reading that this week. I'm excited. It's on my lineup.
Is and that then, saucy?
Yeah. I think there will be. There's always a bit of horniness in sci-fi and fantasy.
I was getting a bit of horny energy, but I was like, maybe I'm just reading.
Yeah, no, Game of Thrones. Like, you know the way there's like all the horn and all the like all that? Yes. There's always a bit of riding going on in a fantasy book.
Okay. Okay.
Rarely ever any fade to black. You know, it's always kind of like hardcore. You are reading.
They're going to completion. Yeah, I got it.
You're like reading about penetration. Do you know what I mean? Keeps you guessing.
You're in it for the smut, Carla. Just
I'm in it for the smut. I'm in it for the smut. I'm in it for the smut, and I'm in it for the plot. So yeah, I'm excited to read that. And then another book. If anybody is into fantasy, it's one that's not as well known. The writer is an independent writer. And her first novel was called The Book of Azrael. She has just gone on to the, like, it's the second, she just released the second of the series. It's called Throne of Broken Gods. I'm in the middle of it. It is a 900 page book. It's a chunky one.
Yikes.
A chunky monkey. Okay. But it's so good already. Like, ugh. I'll be done it. I started it yesterday. I'll be done it tonight. Like, I am.
No way. Yeah,
like, I am all in.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I have.
Why are you getting a full? How are you holding out a full time job with that? Fuck me.
I'm a very fast reader, and people are asking me. No, I'm like, I'm a very fast reader. Like,
wow. I really wish I was a reader. I just never was. I just never had the attention span to like sit. I'm just too easily distracted, and I hate it about myself.
If you're not a reader, you might be an audio booker. And if you're not any of those things, yeah. It's just about, there's tons of different ways of getting into it, but you probably just haven't found your genre.
That could be it as well.
Like, I can't read a romance novel. Can't.
Maybe the Book of G is for me. Maybe
the Book of G could be for you. Like, the Book of G. How hilarious that we're getting. By the way, Gaston, my favorite Disney villain of all
Brilliant.
Time.
Brilliant.
He is a king.
Brilliant.
He's a king. So this was a rider. Like, this book could be shit. I don't know. This author is relatively new to the genre. But
you're like, I've eaten that up.
I'm snacking on it. I'm snacking on it, you guys. I love it. I love it.
Oh, what a lineup. You've been enjoying loads this
week.
Got
everything.
I am like struggling the last couple of weeks because I've been watching so much of the same shit and doing so much of the same shit. But I was very excited that this week we got the launch of, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago with Cian, the Ultimatum, the Queer Love edition.
Yes.
Of the Danny Netflix show. That's the BBC one. That's the BBC one. That's, what's that called?
I Kissed a Boy.
Sorry. Yeah. So do you know... I'm so glad you still did the impression though. So we got that in there. Do you remember the Ultimatum on Netflix where it was like couples came in and they were like, I want to get married, and if they don't marry me, I'm out of this relationship.
Fucking stupid premise.
Americans, man. They're fucking wild. So it's that, but Queer Love edition, which makes me ill because just call it the Ultimatum and don't need to brand it as the Queer Ultimatum. But it's all women. And I was nervous, excited, curious going into it. The first three episodes dropped on Friday, randomly hosted by Joanna Garcia Swisher, who people will know from Sweet Magnolias. Do you know that like Southern girl show on Netflix? Yeah. She's the red-haired one. Like a real natural link to the LGBT community. You know, you'd be like, oh yeah, let's take this person from this show about good Christian values in the South and host a queer dating show. There's three episodes on Netflix. Very strong start. Chaotic characters on there. There is some batshit crazy birds on this thing. Like one girl in particular, Vanessa, is out of her goddamn mind. And it's so interesting that they have picked an all-female cast because
They always lead with all male. I'm obsessed.
Always.
Where women are a fucking different level, like.
You're getting like, I think there's 10 of them in total. So you're getting 10 women in a group who are all like having relationships with other people. So they call them exes, but like partners. And it's like, that shit's going to spark off much quicker than if it was with gay men. It's very strong. I just don't know if they're going to hinge the entire like drama of the show around this one girl, Vanessa, who is very chaotic. There is already some nice like romances bubbling with the new couples, but I think it's going to pace itself well. There's three more, episodes 5 to 8 are coming on this Friday. And then the finale and, this Wednesday, sorry. And then the finale and the reunion are on June 7th. So I feel like it's not too long either. Like 10 episodes, including your reunion, I think is like snackable. Like it's nice enough. They're not going to drag it out. But yeah, do love it. Always find it very interesting how they just navigate it. Like there was a lot of, catering to the straight audience in the first couple of episodes, like over explaining certain things and like leaning into certain stereotypes, but like you're kind of to expect that from a place like Netflix that doesn't, that hasn't really had that experience in this space, and is probably, I'd say by statistics of the ultimatum, is probably mostly straight viewers watching it. Yeah. So there was a little bit of that that I hope tones down now once we've gotten over the initial hub, the initial jump scare of the fact that they're all lesbians. So I'm excited to see it. It's nice. <to play. laughs> Yeah, like, oh, another one, fucking hell. Kind of that energy. But yeah, it's good. I would definitely give it a go. 3 episodes only, which is kind of annoying because once you're into it, you kind of want to just keep going. But I'm enjoying it so far. It's not a sci-fi book, but it is something that will burn my brain cells. So sign me up. Carla, we're going to wrap it there because it's been
a long time.
Am I drenched? Like, I'm so
hot. No, you don't look drenched. Put your fan on.
Got my fan on. I will likely be talking to you in the next few weeks. Love Island is back, as is my pen and paper. We will be talking to my pod and paper listeners about that over on the Instagram this week. So if you're not following my pod and paper,
big announcement,
big announcement, guys.
Big announcement. Whoa.
Be there or you won't know what it is.
Oh, you might find out late. You wouldn't have that.
But yeah, follow us over there. We'll be talking about it. I'll be talking to you on the podcast, I'm sure, over the next few weeks. Let's just hunker down now for the next week. Catch up on those Z's. Sleep masks books. On. Books read. Yeah,
books
yeah.
Read.
Get through it all. Scandaball
ingested.
Eye mask over the eyes.
Eye mask over the eyes.
Yeah. Nice.
Depression cured. Depression cured.
Thanks so much to this week's guest, Carla Kay, for being here to chat through all of the latest news. Thank you to you guys for tuning in each and every week. You can find us over on Instagram at don'tquoteme.podcast and on TikTok at Orla Condon. You can also find us on all your favorite podcast apps so you can listen whenever and wherever you like. We will be back next week with a brand episode and all the latest pop culture news. We'll talk to you then.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.